Go somewhere like that that you've never been before, and you think, well, you don't know what to expect. This notebook started off a book that I started writing sermons in originally, and I took it with me, and I started writing notes in the back when we were over there, thinking I only had a few to write, and it went on page after page, so they're all the wrong way going through the book. Didn't know what we were having. We had meetings with different places, because Mike Beresford, who came here back in January, he goes twice a year, and he goes around to see what's happening and does reports on things and stuff. So we were included in executive meetings at places and all sorts of things, sitting there and even able to say your bit about what you think about things. So yeah, the notes gradually got longer and longer as we went to these different places. So I wonder if anybody can remember. I've got to find it myself first, because I can't. I didn't get on very well with the language. I tried at times, but didn't get on very well. Languages have never been a strong point to me. But I wonder if anybody can remember. Muliwanji. Dili Dwino, very good. Dili Bino, right? Bwino. Dili Bwino. Right. So I thought I would just start this evening by just saying, because there's one or two who haven't heard much about what I'm doing, just thought I'd start by just sharing briefly a kind of testimony of how I got to this point of being involved with ZM. As most of you know, we've been supporting ZM at this church for a long time. I think even before we were here in early 90s anyway, when we first joined this church. And for the last 15 years or so, as a church, we've been supporting students going through the Bible college. I've always had an interest personally in the work that they do in Malawi and Mozambique, and kind of things started sort of 20-odd years ago when we, at one point, were thinking of going on short-term mission. But then at the same time or similar time, we began the route of adoption and ended up with Callum and Ryan. So that kind of blew any thought of that out the window, until in recent years I've been thinking again, because they've grown up and most of the time not at home. So I started thinking again. And then it was last year, Mike Berry, who has been rep around here for a few years, organised an event at Moorlands, actually, for the various churches in the south who support ZM to get together and have a day of worship and looking at what ZM does. There wasn't much interest on that and actually got cancelled, but looking at the programme that he sent out one day, it said on there something about local representatives, and that started the thought going in my mind about maybe I could do something along those lines. And then when Mike Beresford came in January, I spoke to him, and it kind of moved on fairly quickly from there to the point of, September, doing something that I've never done before and never thought I would do, fly as far as Africa and Malawi and Mozambique, which I will be doing every couple of years in the role. And now I've done it once, I'm looking forward to doing it again already, although it'd be kind of 2 years away. There's already one or two here who are interested in going, and if you are interested at any point, now's the time to start thinking about it and planning for 2 years ahead. Well, it'd be about 18 months, because it'll be the earlier part of the year I'll probably go, just to see the place in a different time of year. So it would be April, May time. It'd be great to have a small group go and share among the believers there in Malawi and Mozambique. It's a great experience. It's a very humbling experience to be involved in their worship and to share with them in family life to a certain extent, having four meals in one day, as I shared on the post that I sent out in Mozambique. Or maybe you get a day where you get no food. It's the way it goes. We didn't get that. Me thinking it was going to help my diet going, I ended up coming back, putting on weight and not losing a bit, which I thought it was going to be. But hey. That's what got me to that point. And I'm just being greatly blessed and encouraged, partly through prayers of people here as I've been considering these things, but also having been and just experienced really what God is doing. As Mike Beresford said in one of his messages, we need them to start sending missionaries to us in the UK, because that's how things very quickly appear to be when you go there, just to see the difference of how God is at work, how God is blessing his people. And yeah, that's how it really very quickly appears. God has also brought change in my life in this last year, in doing this role, in flying to somewhere like that. Big changes for me. Most of you know I've changed in what I do as a job, which also helps in the role, or will help, because I'll be able to finish early weekdays to go to other churches to share about the work. And I've been conscious and thought a lot about the book of Malachi, where God says that he does not change. And that's what I shared when I spoke in Mozambique. Again, a great experience and a humbling experience to do that, to be sharing through an interpreter. I admire Simon Chikwana, who is ZM's director over there. He has been here a few years ago and preached, because he in 2 days led 6 services that were all at least 2 hours long. He then interpreted 6 sermons to each different church we went to in those 2 days. He then spoke a bit to them after our message and prayed with them. Then they shared back to us as a church, and he interpreted that back to us. And I really admired him. How he did that 6 times in 2 days, I have no idea. Because it would have been harder for him than us. We had our notes of what we were going to say. He didn't know what we were going to say. So he would have had to be thinking to interpret it. And just a whole incredible experience. And of course it went on to remind me of how that God still doesn't change. Verse in Hebrews, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today and forever. And I went on to think about the gospel when I shared this message with the church that I spoke in, through John 3:16. And just to see the people taking in every word, as I say, I shared this morning about the fact of Bibles and how desperate they are to get Bibles. And again, if anybody wants to give towards Bibles, there is a gift going specifically for that, or there will be, because I'm sending a gift and others have already contributed towards that. It's just £7 for a Bible in Chichewa. But to see them taking in every word that is being said, because obviously as Simon was interpreting, you had that moment you could watch the people. And they were just concentrating on him so much, what he was saying, taking in, because they've got no Bible to read, so they have to rely on it being read and spoken. And part of that was very humbling. And as I said in one of my posts that I sent out, very overwhelming at times as well, things that you didn't expect and couldn't be prepared of what you were going to get there. So that's what's got me to the point that I'm at, and thank you for your prayers, and please continue to pray for that. My area at the moment of sharing the work is, as far as I know, from Portsmouth area to maybe Exeter and across to Bath. but I also may be doing one or two in the Scotland, or, well, there's one in Carlisle when we're in Scotland, because the rep up there has just had to stand down through ill health. So, yeah, potentially quite a few churches to go to. So I will value your prayer in that. So let's see if we're ready to... didn't have this in Malawi and Mozambique, because most churches didn't even have electric, let alone modern technology. And if you were there at the end of the day and it was getting dark, you were worshipping God in the dark. So, yeah, it was a great experience. So the start off that we were at this morning, Zambezi Mission, Malawi and Mozambique. The motto, well, not motto, but, well, I suppose it is a motto. The main thing of ZM is Africans for Africa. ZM don't send missionaries from here out there. They provide funding, and the idea is for them to, both in the UK and there, to be sharing God's word as well as sharing about the work. So if we go to a church to share in this country of what God is doing, we share something of God's word as well to encourage the believers wherever we are. And it's very much the Africans doing out there, and God is just, as I said, blessing them so much in what they are doing. So let's see if this is going to pay to switch it on. It is on. Oh, yeah, sorry. So that is the ZM team in Malawi, apart from Mike Beresford, who is fairly obvious which one he is. As you drive along, and I've heard it especially in Mozambique, you hear it a lot, and especially the children shouting, and I can't remember the phrase, Nzungu, meaning white person. And Mike shouts it back out the window to them. The children are very vocal on it. It's not a derogatory thing. They're so pleased to see white people. So, yeah, top left is... Mike Beresford, who came here in January. The man in the middle, I don't know his name, but he is one of the guards. Everywhere has guards, and they need guards, though there hasn't been so much trouble, I don't think, in recent times. He is one of the guards that is there 24 hours. Then it's Simon Chikwana on the right, and the three ladies are Rose, Dorothy, and... forgotten their name. Mercy. I'm not sure which way round they are. Well, Dorothy is on the right. If you go to stay there and you have washing that needs doing, you put it out in the morning. Dorothy is the housekeeper. She cleans up, she does the breakfast dishes you leave on the side, and she washes them. If you have washing you need done, you leave it out in the morning. Next day you get it back washed and ironed. And ironed very well too. So this is a picture of, it's a bit dark at the front there, it's the guest house that is owned by ZM. There's also another property next door owned by them, which is extra accommodation, sometimes it's let. The very left-hand side, there are two doors in that dark bit, you can't really see them. The left-hand side is the ZM office. The rest is the guest house where we stayed, and that is from the other corner of the guest house. So if you decide to, you really want to come, that's where you would be staying in that. Very nice it is too. For the children, does anybody know what that could be? See if any of the younger ones want to have a guess first. You'd know anyway, because, yeah. Any children think they know what that might be? No? Go on then. It's a mosquito net. And it's hung from the ceiling, and you have it over your bed to keep the mosquitoes out. Very important, although there didn't seem to be that many mosquitoes about. There were a few, and we were making our effort to go round and kill them when we saw them around. You didn't leave the windows and doors open with the lights on, put it that way. And obviously you take your malaria tablets as well, just to be on the safe side, which I'm still on the course of. This picture, minus Anne, is us as a team. Unfortunately, you know the one on the right. You know Mike, because I've already introduced him. It's Charlotte Dunning, who is working in the office, ZM office in York. And Trevor Matthews, who came with Mike Beresford to interview me for the role. It felt like interrogation at the time. He is chair of trustees in the UK. And he is in Canning Town in London, where their church has two services on a Sunday morning. The second one in Brazilian, because there's so many people that speak Brazilian there. I think that was right. The map of... I'm trying to see the place now. I've never been very good on maps. We'll move on. Malawi, down the bottom here. And Mozambique. Oh, yeah, the aeroplane. There you go. Down to Ethiopia. You fly to Ethiopia. And you wait there for about 4 hours before your next flight, which then flies you... Oops. Which then flies you... Well, did fly us to the... to Democratic Republic of Congo. Doesn't always do that, but sometimes it does, and it was scheduled in to go and drop people there and pick more up and then take off again. Didn't do that coming back. Then we went from there down to Malawi, where we landed at Lilongwe, and then we had to change to a smaller plane to fly to Blantyre, which is where we stay. They're doing work on the runway at Blantyre, so they can't land larger aircraft at the moment. What is a bit worrying is you don't see any work being done, and they say they're waiting for the soil to settle before putting the runway back down, which does sound a little worrying. So how long they've got to wait, I've no idea. Oh, we got a bit more before we get to Blantyre. It wasn't that small either, the plane that went from Lilongwe to... And that bit would take you 3 hours by road, maybe a bit more, but you also had 4 or 5 hours wait there again as well. So it made it from door to door 28 hours travelling, which is quite a long time. Okay, so part of the ZM's work is working with the Zambezi Evangelical Church, of which they operate with a synod, so they've got a body of people who are overseeing things. And one of the things that ZM has encouraged the churches to do is come up with an income-generating scheme to help support themselves. One of those schemes, which was at a church at Chifunga, is keeping goats. They started off with 2 goats. That's not the 2 they started with. And they now have, I think it was 16 they've got to. So there you go, there's 4 goats. And more in the background. And there's 7 goats. They weren't all there. Just to the left of that picture, there is a... borehole with a hand pump to pump the water, and that is the runoff from there, which gives the goats something to drink. Behind it, by the way, is a disused baptistry, of which there were 1 or 2 of those around as well. And now they've got some in churches, some places they baptize in the river, which again is a little worrying, being as there are crocodiles around. As we did see them in the river when we went in the nature reserve. You could see them laying in the river. You didn't know whether it was logs or crocodiles, but they were crocodiles. Maluma and Ntonda came up with producing honey. That's what I was going to do and didn't bring the jar of honey from Africa, but never mind. Obviously, I took an interest in beekeeping in Africa because, as most of you know, I keep bees. And they do it slightly, well, the hives are different to what I'm used to. And that is one of the hives there in the trees hanging up. And there it is again. I was that close because that one actually was empty. I didn't have my bee suit. That one was empty. And I was able to look inside and see what it's like, which was interesting to me. So they produce honey and sell it as their income-generating scheme. There's the inside, the top bars, as they would be called, which we wouldn't have them that close together, and then the bees would be building their comb on them. That's the second one that has bees, and they've got them under a shelter there. Another one, pigs. Can't remember which church it was at, but they've started with pigs. So they started with two pigs, and they've got, there's a few more than that. The photographs didn't come out very well other than that one. And they sell pigs for meat. And that's their pig's dyes, which actually look quite elaborate, and they are quite very good. They've not got any security on them, which there is the potential risk for the pigs being stolen. And the question was raised about having a guard to keep watch of them, especially at night. And there they are again from another view. That is the pastor, and it is also, oh, I can't remember his name, Isaac, who is the superintendent for that area of the ZEC churches. Hence, he's got his dog collar on, though they don't all wear them necessarily. Another one is a maize mill. And the church at Chifunga are waiting for their maize mill. So they would have the mill in, and people would bring their maize to be milled and pay to have it milled. There is one somewhere else already up and running, but we didn't get to see that. It was one place that we didn't go to. So, yeah, that is their building that they've got ready for it. There is an issue with the power supply. It's one of these things where people are after money. I don't think it was this, it was somewhere else. We're waiting for a power supply, which they were told was 6,000 kwacha. No, 600. Anyway, 600,000 kwacha. But then to get the power in quicker, the company, and it's a big company, but like the SEB or whatever they're called now, were then saying it's 1,200,000 kwacha. It's just somebody getting a backhander to get the power in quick. So that kind of holds them up. And this is what they're partly were waiting for, was the power supply to be put across the road and into it. You will notice, before I go any further, because you may see at other places, the dark ends on the timber in the roofs. That is to stop termites eating the timber, because they have a lot of termites. Now, interestingly, and I don't know why I haven't found out, but those of you that were here this morning will have seen the picture of the church where the elder had received his Bible on a hill, on a rock. They didn't have to do that, because for some reason, up on the rock, they do not get the termites. I haven't found out why. I didn't ask why, and I meant to have. But for some reason, they don't go up the rock to get into the building. That is the back of the building rooms that are being used for storage for maize. That's again another view of the building. So that is some of the income generating schemes. Most of them, I think. There's just one more, which is in Mozambique, which is at the ZEC headquarters in Mozambique. They're about to build, or hoping to build, a guest house so as they can raise money that way. So this is the sign for the Zambezi Evangelical Church offices and health centre and Mitsidi PVT Secondary School, all part of the same thing, and I think Anne will probably be saying a bit more about the children. I don't know if it's from there or from one of the others. I don't think I've got any more. No, I haven't got any more pictures of that. And the other one, which obviously is of interest to us because of our support from this church, is EBCOM, or as they call it, EBICOM. Almost every word where there's a vowel, they'll add an extra one. So it's EBICOM, and I'm trying to think of another one, but I can't. But anyway, oh yeah, faithful. Not faithful, faithful. They add an extra letter in their English way of saying these things. So that is the entrance. Again, security gates and a guard in his office, and he had to come and ask us who we were before we could get in and drive up the drive to the college. We got the opportunity of sitting in a lecture, a two-hour lecture we sat through, and it was actually the very beginning, the introduction to the course for the new students in theology, I think it was. And so we got to sit through that, which was, it was in English, so we understood it. And yeah, it was interesting. We have got quite a few notes on that as well. I'm not sure that's quite like it would be at Moorlands. Again, part of the college, that is, the top end of the classrooms, and I think this, that to the right is, yeah, that could have been classrooms as well. Bit more of the college. And there is a view out over Blantyre. I'm not sure where that was from, but there is a view out over Blantyre with the mountain behind. Okay, I'm moving on. You saw this picture this morning to Mozambique, unless you're ready to do your bit yet. Hmm? Do you want to do yours? No. So as you know, Anne came back. Well, you maybe don't. Most of you know Anne came back on the something like the 29th of September, and I stayed on for another week, and Mike, Trevor, and I went into Mozambique. We thank God for getting the visas sorted, because it looked like at one point we weren't going to. And it was an interesting experience, as I shared this morning. Parked up here, went into the right, got our passport signed, they let us through the gate, drove round to the left, and then into the Mozambique office, where we got our passport signed. My passport has never seen so many, well, in fact, I had to get a new passport because mine had run out. Never before has it been stamped so many times, because I haven't been anywhere. And so it was an experience going through there. Coming back, we came back through the Mozambique side, past where that lorry is. We came round to where the lorry is over on the right, and we parked to go in the office, and came back out, and I was driving. I seemed to end up doing all the bits up rough roads, but anyway, I was driving, got in, and the vehicle wouldn't start. And Simon got out and fiddled around with the battery terminals, and it would give a bit of life so the lights would light up on the dashboard, and then it would go again. So in the end, we decided we would push it back up the slope a bit and bump start it. And incredibly enough, I mean, often if you did something like that in this country, people would just ignore what you were doing and carry on. But we started a push, and there was one of the security people came over and helped. A chap got out of a lorry where that lorry is parked and came and helped, and a couple others came and helped, and we easily pushed it up the, it's not a very steep slope, but up the slope, pushed it forward, and it started quickly. So then we kept it running till we got back to Blantyre, just in case. So they're very helpful, Some places they would want money to help you, but they didn't there. One day we were somewhere and there was a large herd of cattle. And we stopped alongside the road to take a picture, and a boy appeared round the corner. And next thing, down further over, the farmer appeared out of his house, holding his hand out like this, because he wanted money for his photo. We actually drove on. Mike said we'll drive on, but probably we could have given him a small amount of money. Again, I showed you not that one, but I thought I would stick in a couple of pictures of not just the road that's reasonably smooth, but some of the scenery around, the rocks and things. And I mean, you can see it all is incredibly dry, but some lovely views when you stop to think about it and look at the countryside around. I wasn't taking the pictures because, as I say, I was driving. Mike had my phone and just kept taking photographs as we were going along. Anybody like to guess what that might be? Children. Children like to guess what that might be. No? Any older children want to guess what that might be? Any adults want to guess what that might be? Close. Close. It is actually the church bell. That is behind it is a picture of the one I showed you this morning, that church that collapsed with the effects of the storms, the weather back earlier in the year, because of the poor quality of the build, not because it was an area that flooded. And that is what they use for a bell, the rim of a lorry wheel. And then they've got, that one hasn't got anything there. Another one I saw actually had another metal object that they hit it with. That sounded out for people to be reminded that it was time for church. This is Villa Ulongu. This is the headquarters of ZEC in Mozambique. There's a couple of pictures of that. Again, it all looks very bare. On the Saturday that we got there, it was supposed to be a ladies' conference that we were attending on the Saturday. Yes, I know we're not ladies, but we were attending. It got postponed because the forecast was not terribly good. It was going to be cold, which may surprise you, and possibly wet. So we didn't get to attend that because it got postponed for about 3 weeks. Go back to that a minute. That also is an area where we went back to on the Monday night, and kind of behind, to the left and back, is the church building. And up there are the toilets, or the latrines, as they call them. And Mike went to the toilet in the dark. He had his light on his phone. And as he walked up, he thought, there's a stick there. And then he looked again, and it was a snake. And Mike thought to himself, what do I do? So he's probably panicking now, but he thought, what do I do? Do I kill it? So he found a rock and he killed it, or he thought he killed it, but that's beside the point. He came back in and he said to Simon, there's a snake out there, I've killed it. Did I do the right thing? Oh yes, we kill snakes. So the Mozambique church officials went out to have a look, and they killed it properly because it wasn't quite dead. And they just calmly walked back in saying it was a cobra. And that is an area where the ladies were going to be, and well, still did in 3 weeks' time, sleeping for the night at their women's conference. This is the church inside on Sunday morning, which looked a bit disappointing. It was a 9 o'clock service, and at 9:10, when the service started, to the left, we was kind of sat here and the pulpit was quite big in the way. To the left, and it was the same on the right, because the men, as I said this morning, were on the left. The women and the children were on the right. That's all that were there. There were about 30 or so people in the church, and we thought, well, that's not very good for the one at the headquarters. But we carried on, and at 10:30, people were still coming in, and that's that side. That is showing you the hole over the top, and they estimated there were nearly 300 people there by the end of the service. Many of them have walked miles to get there. They haven't really got any awareness of time. Talking of time, I better pay attention to time, because it's already 10 to 7. They haven't got any awareness of time, and as I say, they're walking miles. And yeah, they just kept coming in, and there were some standing outside as well. And that is them returning from church and going home in their brightly coloured clothing. Transport. Motorbikes are very popular. Okay, this is a church in Jirajala. No, yeah, I think that's how you say it. This is a new church that's been built because the old one wasn't big enough. And we went and looked at it. This again was on the Sunday. I know it was on the Sunday because Mike and Trevor are in the picture and they're wearing their jackets. That's how I've kind of worked out some of the churches between them, between Sunday and Monday. So this is a new build church because the old one wasn't big enough. Already they were starting to say to us that they don't think that one is big enough. That is the old one behind. And yeah, that's the inside of the new one, how far they've got. That are the timbers they've got for the roof. ZM helps with church building in that they provide roof sheets, corrugated iron roof sheets for churches. But they have to do their bit out there in that ZM say they must be building walls with proper bricks and using cement, and they must be using sawn timber and not tree trunks as they use other places. And you may have seen, or you may see, a church with round timbers that are just trees cut down. That's what they stipulate, and if they stick to that, then they get their roof sheets provided for them. They don't get everything provided. They have to do their part. So that was quite interesting. They've got the timbers there ready. That again is a picture of the old church, the new church. I put this photo in. This is one of a different church, not because I couldn't remember which church it was, but I just wanted to show you a picture of how the people are really paying attention and listening to, and I thought that captures it quite well, even the children. I think for the children it was partly because it was a white man speaking, but people are just so desperate to take in what is being said that they're just concentrating, and I thought that was a good one that showed the concentration. This church is, I nearly threw mine, Kahungwa, I think that's how you say it, Kahungwa. This is the church that I preached at, spoke at on Monday morning. And we got inside and were there, and Mike looked across at between the three of us and said, who wants to go first? So I thought, yeah, I'll get it over with. No, not really. And it was a great experience, and I felt such a great peace as I did it, speaking somewhere like that. And I don't think I've got a picture of inside, actually, but this is the people just milling around outside. That is Mike and Trevor. Yeah, no, I haven't got a picture of inside. That is Older Holt Chapel. I guess that must be it. Yes, sir.
Is it on? Yeah. Right. I'm going to tell you a bit about how I came to be going to Malawi, because back this time last year, I had no idea that I was going to be going to Malawi. And in January, we had a visitor. Well, back in November, we had a mission meeting, a mission committee meeting, and Chris announced to us that Mike Beresford had been in touch with us to ask if we wanted him to come to the church. And he had a friend with him called Robert Yanduya. And I immediately said to Chris something along the lines of, "We're having him. Yeah, he's coming." Because this is the chap that we supported years and years and years ago through his college time. And I had sort of followed him because he was doing other things. So I'd kind of followed him, and I knew that he was getting on really well. But when I heard that he was going to be in the UK, that was very exciting for me, because I just liked the idea of meeting up with him, having supported him all those years ago. So when he came, I was very excited. And we spent time with him. And up to that time, Philip had been talking about becoming a UK representative. But I really thought, I probably won't get to go because the school and everything like that. When they came in the January, we had a discussion about it up at Minu's house. And Mike said, it's going to be in April. And I thought, yeah, it's going to be Easter. No, it was going to be in April in school term time. And I thought, I'm never going to get to go. And I kind of sort of like felt, right, I'm not going. Well, then it turned out that Philip was going to go in September. And again, I thought, actually, I'm not going to be able to go because school. But I thought, I might as well just ask, because it's worth asking. And if they said no, then that's fine. So this day, I thought, I'll just pray about it and make sure that, you know, it's in God's hands. And I said to God, I said, look, you know, if it's right, I'm going to hand in a letter. Can you make it happen if it's right? And I went into school that day and I handed in this letter, and Mrs. DL thought that I was handing in my resignation. And she said, if that's your resignation, I'm going to rip it up. And I goes, no, it's something else, sort of like a bit worried. And she opened it and she goes, oh, I don't see why not. I'll take it to the governor's. So that was it. It felt a little bit like Gideon throwing out his fleece, that kind of thing. But anyway, so it happened. I got a yes, and I was on my way, and I was very excited when I found out that I was going to Malawi, because that was something that I never thought that I would ever, ever do. So we got out to Malawi. It was a horrible journey, but that's one of those things. I didn't enjoy it very much. I wasn't scared of the plane, though, which was good. And one of the first things that I did was I went to a place called Paloma. And I went without Philip because both Charlotte and I wanted to go to this children's work. So we set off this morning at some ridiculous hour. I mean, it was just far too early for me. And I felt really tired. We'd already had a really busy day the day before. And we set out and we went along these roads. We went along an ordinary road first, like the one out there, and then we got onto these roads, and we went for miles, and it was ages, and we just kept going and kept going. And I thought we were never going to get to the place, but then that's what I saw. And I thought, yeah. And it was really quite exciting to see those children under the tree. And we got there and we got welcomed in, and it was just, oh, it was lovely. And the chap there, he started telling them a Bible story, and the children sat there absolutely beautifully. Now, there was probably getting on for 200 children there, and they all just sat there and listened, and they were so well behaved. They were just amazing. We actually got the chance at that point. We were actually asked, would you like to do a Bible story? And we said, yes. So I told a Bible story. I think it was Joseph. And the children, again, listened really carefully. It had to be translated. And they joined in with all the actions. And they were just great. Just absolutely amazing children. But then we had to organise a game. And we'd taken along some balloons. Now, these children had never seen balloons before. So they were like, what are these? And we got them to do the over the head and then under your legs business. And they were just so excited by that. They absolutely loved it. And we also gave them lollies. As you can see, they've got their lollies in their hands. We'd stopped at a shop on the way there, and we bought these great big bags of lollies. There must have been, oh, I don't know, about 100 lollies in the bag. And it cost us like £3. So it was like, this is great. But they all got a lolly. And then we got back in the car. Why is it not moving on? We got back in the car. And we were going to another place. And we got back on the road. And I was like, oh, I've had enough now. And it was only midday. And I was really, really tired. And we drove and drove and drove and drove. And we appeared at this place, number one. We appeared at this place and there was this. And that was prepared just for us. And that was pretty amazing to actually see that happening. And the children were so excited. So it was it felt quite funny to be welcomed like that. It was, you know, I mean, quite a treat, really, in some ways. Didn't expect it. It was quite sort of overwhelming as we appeared there. And they also sat down and listened to a story, and then they listened to another story by us. And again, the children sat there, listened really carefully, and took it all in. And answered questions and also repeated Bible verses that they'd learned, which was really quite nice. Again, we produced the balloons, a different set of balloons. By the way, none of the balloons got popped while we were there. Not one single balloon got popped. They were really looking after them carefully. And we played the same game again, and the children really loved it. But I had a balloon, and that little girl there, she rushed up to me, grabbed the balloon, and ran away. And she was not going to give the balloon back. She wanted the balloon. And she didn't want to have her photograph taken, but I managed to sneak a photograph. So she ran back to her mum over by the house. So that was that. That was a really good day. I think that was probably my favourite day, because it, although the travelling was absolutely awful, and I mean really awful, it was tight, it was hot, tight in the car, it was hot, it was sticky, it was dusty, you couldn't have the windows open, no air conditioning, but it was just such a good day. Anyway, another day that I really enjoyed was the day that we went to the school, and we went to a school at Maluma, and this is the headmaster's office. And if you, that's his office, that's where he works. And there were all sorts of things up on the wall, like like the junior timetable and what they have to do, and the children have to be in school at about 6 o'clock in the morning, which I thought, I'm glad I don't live out in Africa because I wouldn't fancy that. There's some nice rules for learners, so fairly similar to our rules, but possibly a little bit stricter. This is one of the classrooms. And again, I was pretty shocked by the classroom because there's no tables. They sit on the floor, and that is quite a hard floor. There was a desk for the teacher, but that was it. And they had homework as well on the wall for one of the younger classes. But what I really liked was the fact that they have classes outside, and that's one class under the tree in Malawi being taught. That was just before they left for home, but that's some more of the children at Maluma. I tried to take a photograph of them as they were coming towards me. There was a couple that I wanted to take a photograph, but before I could do anything, you couldn't see me, could you, Philip? They were just surrounding me because they just wanted their photograph taken. There they are running off. Philip said about Mitsida School, which is the ZEC school, they have got desks, but three children sit in each desk. This is their playground, an amazing playground for them to just run around and have fun. And that's the dining room where they eat the dinner. And this is one of the girls that was cooking the dinner that day, and that's how she cooks it, on the big pot on a fire, and she cooks the most gorgeous food called nsima, which Chris likes as much as I do. Anybody know what that is? Nobody? Anybody know what it is now? That's how he washes his hands. The one man is stepping on that piece of wood that's there, and it tips the bottle, and he can wash his hands. So there he is, he's washing his hands. I thought that was pretty amazing. We do use a kind of thing like that in forest schools at our school. It's kind of like that, but not quite as good. Mitsida Health Centre. Again, I was pretty shocked by the state of it. It isn't the most nice place to have to go to have things done, but it's what they've got, and it serves a really good purpose. The dressing room, or the injection room. I don't know what that says. The consultation room. So there you are. And the waiting room for the maternity unit. Nice, hard seats to sit on while you're waiting to go in. And the room for the doctor to deal with the patient. And the labour ward. That's it. And the dentist's. That is the dentist's chair. How would you like to sit in that and have your teeth done? I'm certain I wouldn't. A nice upright chair and just sit there. Possibly with no anaesthetic, I don't know. This was one of the playgrounds that we saw in Blantyre, and I just loved the rules. I thought that was really nice. And an absolutely amazing slide made out of a tyre. Philip mentioned Chifunga, which was where the goats were. That's the pump which Eddie will recognise. Is that the kind of pumps that you put in as well? But they still serve their purpose. Yeah. So that's the goats. I don't know. And this is where, as well as the goats, they have the orphan daycare centre. So that's the lady cooking the meal for the children who were coming to the orphan daycare programme before they finish school. So they finish school and they come straight to the orphan daycare centre, and they get a proper meal. Again, Nsima. Lovely. That's the wrong picture. That's the right picture. That's the orphan daycare children. There's quite a lot of children there. Again, we had the pleasure of being able to sing Father Abraham with these children. And they joined in, didn't they? In a sort of a fashion. I think they thought we were mad because we did the actions as well. And they just looked at us, didn't they, Philip? Now, this morning, we mentioned a wee boy, or Philip mentioned a wee boy. This is the wee boy with his mum and dad. And for the people who weren't here this morning, in the rains, in those horrible rains back in February, March, they hit his house. And because it's not made with cement between the bricks, when the rains hit the house, and I was saying to my mum this morning, if we had houses without cement in them, I think possibly some of our houses would have fallen down in the last little while with the amount of rain we've had. But that's what happened to that wee boy's house. It fell down and he ended up underneath it. And it was quite interesting because the wee boy was just so cheerful. He kept on smiling at me all through the Sunday service. And he was just a very lovely little boy. But anyway, the villagers came and they dug him out of the muddy mess that he was in. And he was okay. And that's their house again. Now, again, I think that God was really good to me because I've always wanted to go on a safari. And I have now been on a safari. And this was a picture of the Shea River in Malawi, and this was on the safari. And I'm just going to show you a few pictures of the animals before we finish. Can you see the animal? Sophie, can you see the animal? No? Mr. Brian can see it. Can you see it now, Sophie? Just up here. Okay? Very difficult to see. There's another one hiding in the bushes up here. I mean, the animals were absolutely beautiful. We weren't that close to it. It was a long... It moved in. It was a good camera that took that one. Zebra. And a zebra crossing. He didn't look very well because he had that funny thing hanging down from his mouth and I don't know what was wrong with him. But that's a water buck. And the monkey. And especially the monkey with his leg up. I thought that was really cute. And the elephants. The elephants were absolutely amazing. Except for the one that we met on the road. I don't know if I've got a picture of that one. Oh, yeah, there he is. The one that we met on the road, it was quite scary. He was standing in the road and Philip came round the bend and there's the elephant, the bull elephant, big male elephant, and we stopped and we sat there. And I have got video of what was being said in the car, but I probably shouldn't really play it. No, it wasn't by you, it was by Mr. Beresford. He was panicking. But anyway, this bull elephant stepped up onto the grass eventually. And we encouraged Philip to move a bit forward. So he moved a little bit forward and the bull elephant turned around and faced us and started to come towards us. I have never seen Philip reverse quite as quickly in all his life. And I also haven't ever heard Mike Beresford speak in such an urgent voice as he did. He is usually quite cool and collected, but he wasn't cool and collected at that point. So we reversed back, and the bull elephant then decided he was boss and he was going to go the other way. And he turned around and went the other way, and we went on, and we were fine. And that's the end of my one. That's a nice sunset in Malawi. And guess what? I'm going back if I can. Oh, by the way, I forgot. Moni, that means hello. And I'm going to say Muliwanji. What are you supposed to say? Who said that? Dili Burino. And I'm going to say Tiwanana. And that means see you later. And Sikomo, thank you.
Our time has gone, but there's just something I wanted to say that challenged me and may challenge one or two, especially if you live further out than Alderholt. Obviously, as you know, or most of you know, I live at Ogden, so it's one of the villages out further away from Alderholt itself. And I kind of felt that the church in, particularly Mozambique, was not unlike us here in many ways, in that the church was kind of like a hub for the surrounding area. And it's kind of things that we've talked about here. Well, it's come up in conversation with elders, how that we're kind of like a hub in a way to all the villages around almost. But what challenged me was, for me personally, what am I doing in my village in Ogden's? These churches in Mozambique, all of them had what they called prayer houses. One of them had 5 prayer houses, another one had 4. One of these prayer houses had only just started, and it already had 25 people attending it. Now, it's partly their church planting, because they're full. All these people come to the church on a Sunday, but during the week, they're meeting in these prayer houses, the start of new churches, in these kind of like little villages, how they would be here. Communities just a few miles. I mean, we left one church in the dark, got a couple of miles down the road, and there's a group of ladies walking alongside the road, and they had been at the church that we had been to, and they were just walking home. And we spoke to them as we passed, and they started singing and worshipping again. But it made me think, they're coming to there, and then they're having these prayer houses in these villages. And it's very similar to our situation. They've got the central church, but they're out in these communities where Christians are living, and they're seeking to plant churches in those communities. And it challenged me personally, as I say, thinking about living where I do and my witness for the Lord. And how that, well, just how maybe do we reach to these villages around as a church here? And I just thought I would like to share that with you. There's a lot of things you could probably pick up from what we've said, that there are needs for prayer. The one thing I would ask you to pray for is Robert Yanduya. He's a bit uncertain at the moment, the way ahead in his life. He's currently lecturing at the Bible College part-time. His wife, Ellen, is also lecturing. She is actually deputy president of the Girls' Brigade in Malawi. The churches there, the synod have very much decided that they are going to move pastors around after so many years. So they just get moved. And it's at big expense to ZEC. They move them many miles to a new church. And Robert was one of them, which meant he was in a church close in Blantyre, close to the college, which meant he could do both. So he actually said he wasn't moving, so he's given up the pastorate. He's now just working in the college. And he's seeking God's will for what God wants him to do in the future. So if you remember, please pray for him as he seeks God's leading in his life. They do as a family. They've got 4 children. I spent a bit of time with him and Ellen towards the end of our time there. So, yeah, time has gone. Has anybody got any questions quickly of what we've said. There is so much we could say. When you go looking through the photographs and videos and stuff that you've taken, you don't realize how much you take and what you put in and what you leave out. And could probably do about a week's worth of what we've done tonight on the pictures that we've got between us. But are there any questions? No, that's good, because I probably wouldn't be able to answer them anyway. But okay. At the moment, I'm waiting for Mike, who's been in the States for his brother's birthday, to, as soon as he gets back, or he may be back, he's sending a letter around to the churches in this area that already support ZM, to tell them that I am the new rep. And then after that, it's down to me to contact them to see if they want me to go. I said earlier, this sort of area I'm covering, I have one or two things already, a new one where my sister is up near Chippenham, to go to in January, and I have the Mothers Union at High Parish Church in February to go and talk to, which could be interesting. So, yeah, I mean, I suppose for me, at the moment, it's praying as I get into the role that churches are open to me going and sharing with them. Obviously, it's fresh in my mind what I've seen. But it's mainly focusing on ZM rather than the wider thing, I suppose. I have to go to Canning Town in November for the Executive Committee conference. Sounds really exciting when you look at what they're talking about. That's held at one of the reps' churches, so it's at, or one of the staff's churches, so it's at Trevor's Church in November. So I go Friday, a meeting Friday night, a meal, stay in somebody's house from their church, and then all day Saturday is a meeting, and then come back Sunday. Unfortunately, it's the last Sunday that Chris is here, so I'm going to miss his last Sunday morning sermon, unless I can get away on Saturday night. But it goes on quite late, and I never negotiated the tube on my own before, very rarely been on it with somebody else, so I didn't really want to be doing that too late at night and coming back. So I have that in November to go to. And then I have to go to York every quarter for a representatives meeting. Yeah, so that's what I've got on involved with at the moment. There will be opportunity as well for us to be more involved, in that Mike was at one point already talking about next November, the executive committee meeting here. That does mean the church is kind of expected, asked to host it. It also means the church is asked to provide accommodation for the people. It's not a huge number of people, but accommodation for the people who stay for the weekend. So that might be happening here. Again, something that hopefully you will be willing to get involved with. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it at the moment. Yeah, anything else at all?
I noticed you were quite a lot of chocolate. Didn't see any filling stations. How about diesel and petrol?
Oh, there are. There are filling stations along the main roads. We got near to the border crossing from Mozambique and we topped up. However, because we were on so many dirt roads, you really didn't use any fuel. We came back out of Mozambique with the tank still showing full, and we had been a lot of miles in Mozambique, but you're just such slow mileage that you're driving per hour that it's just not using the fuel. So yeah, but there are fuel the filling stations around. Femi? I think it's the pretty much the Africans there, the local people, supporting themselves church-wise, and just making sure, funding themselves to be able to do what they're doing. Rather, I mean, they are relying on support from elsewhere. Their offerings work differently in that they have an offering like we would. They then have an offering for the pastor. So his wage is whatever is in that offering. Now, sometimes of year when it's bad weather, his offering, his wage will be very low. And the income generating schemes are trying to get them into a way of increasing their funding, which again provides a whole lot of other problems in itself, how they understand the way of buying at the right time of year to maximise profits and stuff like that when it comes to pig food in particular. So there, I mean, they've been going 127 years, I think it is, 1890-something they started. But they're not they're not doing the work for them. They have to do their part before they get certainly funding for anything. So it's kind of encouraging and supporting them to get the work done themselves for the Lord out there, if that answers the question. Nothing else? Nope. Well, thank you for your time and for your patience and for looking at the pictures and hearing what we have to say. As I say, there is so much that could be said, so much that we're thankful for, that of having the opportunity to go and experience so many humbling things and amazing things that God is doing through his people there. So thank you for that, and we will just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity this evening of meeting together and worshipping you in this way. Father, we thank you for what you are doing through your people, through our brothers and sisters, particularly in Malawi and Mozambique. We just praise and thank you that your church there is growing, both in number but also growing in maturity as believing people. I thank you, Father, for the opportunity of being able to experience that, to be able to share in that, to be able to share your word there in Mozambique, and just to be very humbled by the whole experience. And Father, we just praise and thank you for what we've been able to share this evening of what is happening through your people there in those countries. And Father, we just pray for them today, for the various needs. There are so many things we could have said that they're needing prayer for, but you know them all, Father, and we just lift your people to you in those places and pray your blessing on them and thank you for them, Father. And for us, Father, we just give you thanks that we can share in this way, that we can worship you. We thank you for all that you provide for us, so much that we perhaps don't appreciate, so much that we take for granted, so much that we have, and we just praise and thank you for that. And we just ask your blessing on us now, in Jesus' name. Amen.